मम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महावेदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नाम्ने गौरक्षे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी यं ब्रह्म वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुत स्तुवन्ति दिव्ये स्त्वे वेदे संगपदक्रम उपनिषदे गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानवस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यांतं न विधु सुरसुरगना देवायः तस्मै नमः कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः नमः पङ्कजनाभाय नमः पङ्कजमालिने नमः पङ्कजनेत्राय नमस्ते पङ्कजाङ्गरे सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत्राय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
सो लास्ट टाइम वी वर Discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 9th chapter, the passage of Bhishma's Stuti. So the passage was Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he is filled with lamentation, thinking himself to be the cause of all the destruction, of all the war, all the relatives, teachers, brothers, uncles, everybody being killed in the war. He thinks himself to be the cause of all that, filled with lamentation. In that situation, even though Lord Krishna tried to pacify him, ultimately he brings them to Bhishma. That only Bhishma can pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Bhishma Dev can instruct Yudhishthira Maharaj, give him the principles of religion. So as they all approach Bhishma Dev, who is lying on the deathbed, on the bed of arrows, so Lord Krishna requests Bhishma Dev to instruct Yudhishthir. So first he removed his lamentation, telling him that you are not the cause. It is all caused by the time factor. So don't think yourself to be the cause of everything. And nobody can understand the plan of Lord Krishna. And he instructs, who can understand the plan of Krishna? One who is completely absorbed in Krishna by chanting his name, by remembering him, by doing the name Kirtan. And he gives the example, Lord Shiva, Narada, Kapila Dev. They know the plan of Lord, they understand the plan of Lord because they are completely absorbed in Him. And Yudhishthir should understand who Krishna is, not thinking himself to be his cousin or their friend or their counselor or the charioteer of Arjuna. He should understand who Krishna is. He is none other than the Supreme Lord Himself, who appears out of His own will in this material world. So after instructing Yudhishthira in that way, then Krishna tells Bhishma Dev that you please give some lessons to Yudhishthira. You are the encyclopedia of all the religious principle. Nobody knows religion, how to conduct the life as per the religious principles, how to rule the kingdom better than you. So you please instruct Yudhishthira. And then after that, it's the whole discourse starts, which goes on for multiple days. So every morning they all come together in front of Bhishma, and Bhishma Dev is instructing them. In the evening they will go back to their camps, and again next morning they will come back. So this whole discourse went on for almost 40 days, and it's all described in Mahabharata in Shanti Parva. And Bhishma Dev instructed on various subject matter of Raj Dharma, what is the duty of the king, how the king should rule, what kind of principles the king should follow. Then Dasa Dharma, the duty of the servant. He speak about Istri Dharma, the duty of the woman. Dan Dharma, the principles of charity. And then ultimately he speaks on Bhagavat Dharma. What is the conclusion of all the religion? So last time we discussed elaborately on Rajdharma. Bhishma Dev spoke on Rajdharma, giving various principles to Yudhishthira Maharaj, how the king should rule. And during that he spoke a lot about the significance of cows, protection of cows. So today we'll continue from for few other dharma in brief. So one, he describes about Dan Dharma, the duty of everybody to engage in charity. The one should not be miserly, thinking that everything belongs to me, whatever I have earned, that this is for my enjoyment. One should give up his resources for the welfare of others, doing the charity. And Krishna also spoke in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, Krishna stressed on three activities which nobody should give up. Yajna, Dana, Tapaha. So Lord Krishna also mentioned that one should never give up these three activities. Yajna, performing the sacrifices, Dana, charity, and Tapaha, austerity. So these three principles one should always follow, no matter in what phase of life. One may be in Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanprastha or Sannyas. As a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, everybody to some extent follow these principles. So charity is one of the very integrated principle in Vedic Dharma, in Sanatana Dharma. And charity is sacrificing to the higher living entities, right? The demigods, the Devi Devatas and the Supreme Lord. Doing the charity, giving the charity for maintenance of the Brahmanas. It's a duty of the Grihastha to maintain the Brahmacharis and Sannyasis. No matter who that Grihastha is, he may be a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, everybody should engage in charity. And when this principle of charity was going on, Yudhishthira Maharaj inquired a very interesting question. And the question is about the charity of the daughter. We say about Kanyadan. So his question, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked the question that when the girl is getting married, what is her share in father's property? Because generally the father's property is mostly given to the son. So what is the daughter's role or daughter's participation in the property of the father? And Bhishma Dev answered that the property of the daughter, the Kanyadan, Kanyadan is a very significant charity. It's not that girl is getting married and just go to the house of the husband. But the father of the daughter, he is giving the charity of his daughter. Right? That's why it's called Kanya Dan. And it's the topmost charity among all the charity. And when the daughter is getting married, the in-laws, right, the boy's family, so they will come to the girl's house and they give some gifts to the girl, either in terms of they may give some jewelry, they may give some land on the name of the girl, clothes and everything. So that becomes the property of that girl. Nobody has the right to use that property which is given to the girl. So when the girl goes to the husband's house, this all property which was given to her by the in-laws belong to the girl. The father does not have any right on that. If the father keeps that property, whatever is given to the girl, it is considered as he has sold his daughter. So whatever is given by the in-laws to the girl is still girl's property. The parents of the girl has no right on that property. And same way, the father of the girl can also give some gifts to the girl. And that also is in terms of jewelry, land, money. And all that also belong to the girl. And when she goes to the house of her husband, this is her property. Her in-laws has no access to that property. It's not that her husband or in-laws can use that property unless the girl has empowered them to use. If they take away whatever is given to the girl for their own motive, it is considered the boy's father has sold his son in exchange of that money. And nowadays this is a concept of dowry. It is so widespread. It's like an epidemic disease. But actually, the original concept, there is nothing like as dowry. It is father's will. Whatever the father gives to the girl out of his capacity and out of his love for his daughter, he can give whatever he likes as per his capacity. So the kings earlier, they may give lot of wealth when the daughter of the king is getting married. They may give lot of elephants and horses and gold and villages and lot of servants to go along with the girl. And this is all as per their capacity. And a poor person may not be able to give anything. He may just send off her daughter in 2 sets of clothes. So there is no such thing as dowry or asking oneself, asking for something that we want these things. So that is considered like selling the boy. If somebody is asking in exchange that we want this much money, this much of these resources, it's considered as selling the boy. So the concept of giving the daughter in charity, it's a very high level of charity, kanyadan. And then Bhishma Dev spoke about istri dharma. A lot of people say, is he spoke only about istri dharma, no purusha dharma? Why we most of the time speak about istri dharma? What is the duty of the woman? What is the duty of the wife? But actually both are very important. The duty of the husband and duty of the wife. And in Sanskrit, wife is called Patni. Right? Or to more elaborately, it's called Dharam Patni. What is the meaning of Patni? Anybody knows what is the meaning of Patani?
Who prevents falling.
Very good. Who prevents fall down of her husband? Jo apne pati ko patit na hone de. So that is Patani. So the role of wife is to prevent fall down of her husband, to encourage him to progress on the path of dharma. So that is why it's called Dharam Patani. So if the wife helps the husband to progress on the path of dharma, that's her biggest credit. If she herself does not do anything for particularly for spiritual life, but is encouraging and helping the husband to progress in that, she is making a big progress herself. So now don't take it as an excuse to not chant your rounds tomorrow. That we will force our husbands to chant tomorrow, but we can skip. So the role of wife in the life is very significant. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was taking sannyas, what he mentioned was, I will go away, take sannyas, but you should stay here, because when the wife is still there, she is able to take care of the kids. But if the wife is gone, for the husband it becomes very difficult to manage the family, to take care of the kids. So, pura parivar bikhar jata hai. But wife can handle everything. That's why she is also is the empowerment of Shakti. Right? We worship Durga with 6 hands, 8 hands. What does that signify? The woman has the capacity to do multiple tasks. She is the empowerment of Shakti. So when Bhishma Dev is explaining about all these dharmas, at that time Draupadi started laughing. And Bhishma Dev became very curious, who is this person who is laughing? I am speaking so serious subject matter, and who has the power to laugh when I am speaking? Even no Pandavas can dare to laugh when I am speaking. So he asked, who is this who is laughing? And Draupadi came forward, please forgive me. I am the one who laughed. I could not control my laughing. And Bhishma Dev said, what is the reason of your laughing? Please explain to me. Do not hesitate, do not fear. And Draupadi asked for forgiveness, that please forgive me first before I say anything. It's just my mind got this doubt, so I started laughing. So the reason I was laughing was, in the assembly of Kurus, when I was insulted, when I was pulled into the assembly by my hairs and tried to disrobe, I had asked everybody a question, and I had come to you also asking the question. And at that time you answered, but you could not help me anything. And Draupadi's question was, when the husbands themselves have lost everything and lost themselves also, do they have right on their wife to gamble her also? And at that time Draupadi was going to everybody asking, is this the right act to do by the husbands, to gamble her wife, their wife? And Vidura tried to stop. Vidura actually spoke the Brihaspati Niti. He said, when the husbands themselves have lost, they don't have any right on the wife. But Bhishma Dev, he said, as per the Vedas, wife is still the property of the husband. And it did not help me. So Draupadi is explaining, your answer did not help me. It actually encouraged the Kauravas, Duryodhana and Dushasan, to continue with their heinous act. So at that time, where was all this dharma gone? Now you are giving big lecture on dharma. But where was all this knowledge, all this dharma was gone that time? If that time you could have stood up and looked at all the Kauravas and challenged them, that who dare can disrobe our daughter-in-law here in this assembly? Nobody could have looked at me. But to speak of the Kauravas, even the demigods cannot come in front of you and fight with you. And who are these Kauravas? But because you kept quiet and your answer encouraged them. That's why I had to go through all that. Where was all this dharma gone? And Bhishma Dev, actually he thanked Draupadi for expressing her heart that you are right. At that time, my intelligence, all my knowledge was covered up because I was debted by Duryodhana. I was eating Duryodhana's food. मैंने द्रियोदना का नमक खाया था, उसकी वजह से जो मेरी बुद्धि है वो पूरी तरह से cover up. It was fully covered by illusion. But now your husband has pierced my whole body with his arrows and all the blood has drained out from my body. द्रियोदना का जितना नमक खाया था वो पूरा का पूरा सब नमक निकल चुका है और जो मेरी बुद्धि है वो पूरी तरह से स्वच्छ हो चुकी है. All my intelligence has been restored and I can, all the principles of religion are illuminating my inner consciousness completely. And that's why I am able to speak on the subject matters of dharma now. And Bhishma Dev is giving a very strong principle here that our consciousness, our intelligence is affected by the food we eat. So one should be very careful what we eat, from where we eat. Right? The person who has cooked the food, and if we are getting the food, getting charity from somebody, from which person, how he has earned that food, that all affects the food, and when you eat that food it affects the consciousness. So the cook and how the person has acquired that food affects the food. If the person while cooking the food, his consciousness is about the wrong objects, his consciousness is he's in angry mood or having some lusty desires, all those things gets into the food. And when somebody eat that food, it affects the consciousness of the person. And same way, if the person has acquired the wealth by wrong ways, by stealing, by plundering, by killing somebody, right, by adharmic ways, that goes into the food, that effect. So that's why the sannyasis, they are very careful from where to eat. They will not eat at anybody's and everybody's house. A lot of sannyasis, they will have their very close disciple who will cook for them in a very purified condition. And they will not, if the sannyasi's duty is, they will go to the house of a grihastha to beg. And generally they will go to the house of a brahmana, brahman grihastha, to beg from their house. And that also, they want to be very careful how that person has acquired the wealth. So the food is very, very important factor. Jaisa anna vaisa man. So Bhishma Dev explained, my consciousness was completely covered up because of the wrong food I had eaten. But now my consciousness has been purified. All the blood has been drained out of my body and my consciousness is illuminating with all the religious principle. And after explaining Dana Dharma, Istri Dharma, Bhishma Dev finally spoke about Bhagavad Dharma. And what is Bhagavad Dharma? What is the ultimate conclusion of all the religious principle? What is the conclusion of Dharma? And that conclusion, as per Bhishma Dev also, is to chant the holy name of the Lord. That is the final conclusion, Bhagavad Dharma. To hear about the Supreme Lord, to chant about the name of the Supreme Lord, to remember the Supreme Lord. So if somebody asks, what is the conclusion of all the scripture? The conclusion of all the Vedas, all the Upanishad is Bhagavad Gita. Right? The conclusion of all the Upanishad is Bhagavad Gita. And if somebody says, what is the conclusion? What is the sar of Bhagavad Gita? What is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita?
Krishna is the cause of all causes.
Krishna is the cause of all causes. Okay.
Bhakti.
What is knowledge?
Knowledge. Okay.
And,
so what is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita?
Leave everything and come to me.
Surrender. So surrender is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashuchah. So the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is surrender. So the conclusion of all the Veda Upanishad is Bhagavad Gita. Conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is surrender. But if somebody asks, what is the conclusion of surrender also? What is the conclusion of surrender? Of shelter?
Self-realization.
Yes, bro.
Take shelter of a pure devotee.
Okay, so that is surrender. But what is the principle? What is the conclusion of surrender? Among all the activities of surrender, what is the conclusive activity?
Chanting
the holy name. So the conclusion of surrender is to chant the holy name. And Bhishma Dev is giving the same conclusion to the Pandavas, so Yudhishthira Maharaj. So he is saying the ultimate conclusion of all the scripture, the Bhagavad Dharma, is to chant the holy name. And he spoke Vishnu Sahasranam. At that time, he spoke Vishnu Sahasranam to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And speaking about Vishnu Sahasranam also, okay, the conclusion of surrender is chanting the holy name. So he recited Vishnu Sahasranam. What is the conclusion of Vishnu Sahasranam? What is the final conclusion of Vishnu Sahasranam? There are 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. This is the conclusion of Vishnu Sahasranam is 4-word Narayan. The Narayan name, Narayan mantra. But the Narayan mantra also may be very difficult for some people to say. The conclusion of the 4-letter Narayan word is 3-letter Govinda. But not everybody may be able to say Govinda. Because to say Govinda, it needs the teeth joint. When you say Govinda, at the end the teeth join. So the child, a very young child who doesn't have teeth, he cannot say Govinda. And the old person who has lost all the teeth, he may not be able to say Govinda. So easier than that is the 2-letter name Ram. So it's coming out as a conclusion, step by step. So 4-letter, the Narayan name, then Govinda, then Ram. And Lord Vishnu, actually Lord Shiva, also gives the same conclusion to Mother Parvati. When Parvati asked, what is the conclusion of the holy name? And she had heard this Vishnu Sahasranam from the sages. And she is trying to remember the Vishnu Sahasranam, every day chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. And she inquired from Lord Shiva, what is the conclusion of Vishnu Sahasranam? And Lord Shiva explained to Parvati, Ram Ram Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranam Tattulyam Ram Nama Varanane. Ram 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 Iti Rame Ramo Rame Manorame. Hey Rama, hey Manorama, the 3 names of Ram, Ram 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 Iti Rame Rame Manorame. Sahasranam Tat Tulyam. These 3 names of Ram are equal to the 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. So if one says three times the name of Ram, it is equal to saying 1,000 times the name of Vishnu, reciting the whole Vishnu Sahasranam. And the name of Ram, it's very easy to say. Anybody and everybody can say Ram. No barrier of age. The child who has not developed the teeth, who has not developed full vocal, he can also chant, and even the very old person can also chant. And the name of Krishna, name of Radha. So in the scriptures there is another verse which signifies the name of Lord Krishna. Sahasra nama nama punyam trir avrittya tu yat phalam. Ek vrittya tu krishnasya namekam tat prayachati. So three times saying the name of Ram is equal to Vishnu Sahasranam, and saying the name of Krishna once is equal to saying the Vishnu Sahasranam. So the ultimate conclusion of all the scripture is to chant the holy name. That is Bhagavad Dharma. Harer Nam, Harer Nam, Harer Nam Eva Kevalam. Kalau nasteva, 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 gatir anyatha. So in Kali Yuga, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way than chanting the name of Hari, chanting the name of Hari, chanting the name of Hari. So whatever people could acquire in Sati Yuga by thousands of years of meditation, and what people could acquire by doing elaborate yajna in Treta Yuga, and what people could acquire in Dwapar Yuga by elaborate temple worship, the same result, self-realization, one can achieve by chanting the holy name in Kali Yuga. So in Kali Yuga, the process of self-realization is chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Bhishma Dev, when he spoke all these various principles of dharma, Raj Dharma, Dana Dharma, Istri Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma, at that time all the leelas of the Lord has manifested in his heart. Even the leelas he himself has not witnessed, he is able to see those leelas of the Lord, those pastimes of the Lord, very clearly in his heart. And how this Leela has manifested in the heart of Bhishma Dev? Because of Bhagavat Namasmaran. Because he is engaged in constantly chanting the name of Krishna while lying on his deathbed. He is constantly remembering Krishna. All the pastimes of Krishna are very clearly visible in front of his eyes, in his heart. And that is the effect of Bhagavat Nama. So Lord's name, Roop, Leela, Dham, they are all considered Satchitanand. Right? They are full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. And there is no difference in Lord's name, in his form and his Leela and Dham. Even though they are all same from the aspect of Tattva, but still, among all these, the name of Lord is primary. Naam, Roop, Leela, Dham. In charo mein se Bhagwan ka jo naam hai, wo pradhan hai. And how is that? Because by the potency of name, Leela, Dham, Roop, they become manifested. As soon as we link ourselves with the holy name, the Lord's form also appear in our heart. As soon as you say Radha Kunj Bihari, what appears in the heart? What appears in the mind? You may be transported to in front of Radha Kunj Bihari. Right? So the Roop is manifested, Dham is manifested, and Leela is manifested. As soon as you say Radha Madan Mohan, you may reach right away in Vrindavan, in front of Radha Madan Mohan. So the name connects us with the Roop and Dham and Leela. And there are so many pastimes which emphasize this point. When all the Goswamis were staying in Vrindavan, they were engaged in Harinam. They were engaged in chanting of the holy name. And in that process, the Lord's Leelas will manifest in their heart. They were able to see Lord's pastime as if it's happening in front of their eyes. And the places where these pastimes happened, they were manifested. They were able to search out those lost places of Lord's pastime. And how Madan Mohan appeared to Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan, it's also because of the chanting of holy name. He was engaged in chanting of the holy name. And Madan Mohan made his appearance in front of Sanatan Goswami. He was begging through somebody's house, some Brahmana's house. And Madan Mohan was residing at one Brahmana's house, Jagdish Chove. And as Sanatan Goswami went for his bhiksha, he was standing at his door. He saw the children of this Brahmana playing with this deity as if a toy. And he spoke to us, "No, you should not be treating the deity like this. Deity should be worshipped very reverentially." And at that time, when Sanatan Goswami came back in the night, Madan Mohan spoke to Jagdish Chove in the dream, "Please deliver me to that Babaji." And same time, Sanatan Goswami's dream also, Madan Mohan came, "I would like to come and stay with you." And the next day, Jagdish Chobe, he brought Madan Mohan to Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami has no house, nothing. He was just staying on a hill in Vrindavan. So Jagdish Chobe came there. He said, "I would like to give my deity to you. He would like to be worshipped by you." So Madan Mohan came to reside with Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami completely renounced. He is engaged in his bhajan and writing books. And how he was taking care of Sanatan Madan Mohan? He put some kind of a cloth hanging from a tree and put Madan Mohan on that. And whatever bhiksha he is getting from somebody's house, some dry chapatis, that's what he will offer to Madan Mohan.
Without salt.
And Madan Mohan spoke to Sanatan Goswami, "Baba, you are feeding all these dry chapatis to me. It will be nice if you give me a little salt also." And Sanatan Goswami said, "See, that's why I did not want to have you. I am a completely renounced person. I am engaged in your chanting your name and writing books. And now you are asking for salt. Tomorrow you will ask for some sabji bhat, some sweets and all. I cannot do that. If you want, just go and arrange yourself." That is Sanatan Goswami's relation with Madan Mohan. That loving exchange. "Tomorrow you cannot tell your deities, so you go and arrange, cook your food yourself. I don't have time for you." Sanatan Goswami, we cannot compare at the level of Sanatan Goswami. We should not imitate the Goswami, just follow in their footsteps. So Madan Mohan will personally appear in front of Sanatan Goswami as a 5-6-year-old child and talk to Sanatan Goswami. Because of the holy name, the Roop becomes manifested. And when Sanatan Goswami told Madan Mohan that "you arrange for yourself, if you want no salt, you arrange." And that day, actually, one businessman, one seth, he was having his boat load of salt going from Yamunaji. At that time, Yamuna will flow like it will a big river. And the cities are connected through the river flow. So they will take the boats to go from one city to another. So Yamunaji, his boat was passing on. And there was a big storm in the river. And his boat got stuck. And the boat will not move. And he came on to the banks. At the bank, the boat got stuck. And at that time, he saw one light coming from that tila, that mountain. He saw maybe somebody is there. And this Madan Mohan, as a boy, appeared to that sage. Then if you want help, you should approach that Babaji, that sadhu. He can help you. So this sage, this businessman, came to Sanatan Goswami and paid obeisances in front of Sanatan Goswami and told him that my boat is stuck here. Can you please help me? Sanatan Goswami said, I am an old person, but my DT, Madan Mohan, he can definitely help you. You please pray to him. And this person took the darshan of this beautiful Madan Mohan DT. And seeing this DT, he thought, oh, such a nice, beautiful DT is worshipped like this here. Practically nothing, no facility here. So in his heart, he got the desire, if my boat is freed from here and I am able to go to Agra and sell all my merchandise there and whatever profit I get, I will donate it in service of Madan Mohan. Now, this is Madan Mohan's arrangement only. He got the storm in Yamunaji and got his boat stuck. So after that, his boat got released. He went to Agra. And with the influence of Madan Mohan's, his boat was filled with salt. But it all transformed into kapoor. What do you call that?
Camphor.
So with the power of Madan Mohan, the whole salt transformed into camphor. Now camphor is very lightweight. But the same quantity, same weight, what salt was there, it transformed into camphor. And camphor's price is much more than salt. And he earned a huge profit by selling all that. And all that profit he gave to Sanatan Goswami to construct a big temple for Madan Mohan. And that temple is still there in Vrindavan, the temple of Madan Mohanji. It's a beautiful structure. And that replica of Madan Mohan temple is now built in close to Bombay. What is that new?
Navi Mumbai.
But what is that village, right? The
Eco Village.
So in Eco Village, that replica of Madan Mohan has been built. It's a very beautiful building with red stones, tall round building. And you can imagine 500 years back building that kind of structure. So tall, that kind of structure. It's only possible with the mercy of Lord Krishna, his power. So the point here we are stressing on is with the mercy, with the strength of the holy name, the roop becomes manifested in the heart. In the pastime of Mother Shabari. So when Shabari left her home just before her wedding and came in the village, in the forest, searching for some shelter, she came to the ashram of Matanga Rishi. And nobody was giving her shelter, thinking that she is a girl, woman, and how can she stay among all the sadhus. And Matanga Rishi finally gave her shelter, that you built a kutif here and you stay here. And he gave her the holy name, that you chant the holy name, you just stay here, do some service, chant the holy name. And when Matanga Rishi was leaving, he said, it's my time to leave, go back to the spiritual world, but you stay here continuously and chanting the holy name. And one day Lord Ram will personally appear here, personally come to your cottage. And Shabari continuously throughout her life chanted Ram Nam. She is constantly chanting the name of Lord Ram. Waiting for Lord Ram every day to come. Today Lord Ram will come. Today Lord Ram will come. And practically she spent thousands of years like that. Will we have that patience to continue just on the words of her guru that Lord Ram will personally appear here? But because she had the faith in the words of guru, she had the faith in the holy name, On the strength of holy name, Lord Ram gave his darshan. Because of the name, Lord Ram's Rupa became visible in front of Shabari. She became eligible to see Lord Ram face to face. But if somebody is not taking shelter of the holy name, directly want to approach the form of the Lord, the Rupa, in the scripture, that example is also there. Anybody knows the example? Same from Ramayana. Shrupnaka. Shrupnaka saw the form of the Lord. She had Lord's Rupa visible in front of her eyes, but she did not take shelter of Lord's name. The Rupa was visible, available, and she became attracted to the Rupa. And what were her attitude, her mentality? I want to achieve Lord Ram and enjoy with him. And she approached Lord Ram, asked him, who you are? He said, I am the prince of Ayodhya. My name is Ram. She did not hear Ram. He said, oh, I am the prince of Ayodhya. Oh, you are the prince. And I am also the princesses. Tum jaisa koi purush nahi, mere jaisi koi nari nahi. That were her words. That we should get together. Because she wanted to approach the Rupa of the Lord, wanted to enjoy the Rupa of the Lord, she could not enter into the pastimes. She could not achieve the Lord. She actually lost her Rupa also. First of all, she transformed herself into a different thing which she is not there. Right? She transformed herself into a very beautiful looking woman and approached Lord Ram in that way. But she lost her ear and nose trying to associate with the Lord, trying to enjoy the Rupa of the Lord. So Lord's name give access to the Rupa form and Dham also. So among the four, name of the Lord is primary. That's why we should take shelter of the holy name. And when we chant the holy name, what should be our attention? What should be our focus? One should not think, oh, should I focus on this pastime of the Lord or that pastime of the Lord? Should I focus on looking at the form of the Lord? One should focus just on the syllables. Because if you are focusing on the syllables, Ram, Krishna, if you are focusing on the syllable, it doesn't have to be the Devanagari syllable, whatever language you know. Tamil, Telugu, Bengali, Gujarati, whatever language is. Just focus on the syllables in that also. Lord manifests himself in those syllables. So, Bhishma Dev spoke about Bhagavad Dharma. And in Bhagavad Dharma, what is the ultimate conclusion is to chant the holy name. So after concluding his lessons to Yudhishthir Maharaj, Bhishma Dev became completely quiet, completely absorbing his mind on Lord Krishna, focusing his eyes on the face of Krishna. Because at that time, the time of Uttarayana has come. Uttarayana is when the sun travels to the north side. And this is the time considered as auspicious for the yogis to leave their body so that they can attain the spiritual world. So, Bhishma Dev started composing selected prayers glorifying Lord Krishna. That is what is called Bhishma Stuti. So, whatever we heard till now was Bhishma Upadesh. Right? Instructions of Bhishma Dev. And now it's starting as Bhishma Stuti, the prayers of Bhishma Dev to Lord Krishna, glorifying Lord Krishna. So he absorbed his mind completely on Lord Krishna, continuously looking at his face. Bolte kisi ek cheez ke upar jaise tak tak hi laga ke dekhte hain. So he is looking at Krishna भगवान के ऊपर टकटकी लगा के देख रहे हैं, भगवान को निहार रहे हैं. एंड भीष्म देव स्तुति, द काइंड ऑफ प्रेयर्स ही मेंशन इज वेरी वंडरफुल इन द सेंस इट कवर्स ऑल वेरियस रसास. वी नो देयर इज शांत रस, दास्य रस, साख्य रस, वात्सल्य रस, माधुर्य रस. दीज आर द फाइव प्राइमरी रसास. एंड देन देयर आर द सेकेंडरी रसास, वीर्य, भयानक, रौद्र. So all that, there are secondary rasas. So Bhishma's stuti, it has all various sort of rasas there. And Bhishma Dev is describing the man who spoke on these various subject matter, like Bhishma Dev, who spoke on these various subject matter. And Bhishma Dev has fought so many wars throughout his life. And he became completely quiet, completely freed from all bondage, focusing his attention, his concentration completely on the Supreme Lord. He fixed his wide open eyes upon the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, who stood before him four-handed, dressed in yellow garments, and his garments are shining. By pure meditation, looking at Lord Krishna, he was freed from all material inauspiciousness. And at that time, Bhishma Dev was relieved from all the bodily pain also. So Bhishma Dev's body is pierced with arrows. And if something pierces through our body, or even some thorn or something, we can experience how much pain it is. So Bhishma is experiencing all that pain, but at this last time, when he is completely absorbed in Krishna, completely focusing his mind on Krishna, he was relieved from all the bodily pain. And this is a result of samadhi, being situated in samadhi. So when you are situated in samadhi, the externals does not matter, the bodily inconvenience, the bodily pain, it does not affect anything. We have seen practical experience also. We see so many sannyasis traveling, right? Day in, day out. Every day they are traveling. They stay maybe a couple of days here, then move to another place. If we have to travel, if you go from here to India, you're suffering from jet lag and then the bodily discomfort of because of all that travel. But these sannyasis, they constantly keep traveling different time zones, but they are still completely absorbed in their activities, in preaching Krishna consciousness, not being affected by any bodily discomfort. That is the result of being completely absorbed in Krishna, in thinking about Krishna, in chanting the holy name, in spreading the glories of Krishna. So once one is completely absorbed in samadhi, this bodily discomforts completely vanish. One may have too much of bodily pain, or knees are hurting, or this thing hurting, that thing hurting. But if you focus on Krishna when you are chanting the holy name, all your pains may disappear. And you can experience this yourself. So Bhishma Dev's condition at that time, because of his complete absorption in Krishna, in complete samadhi, he is not experiencing any pain anymore. He is completely relieved of all that pain. And in that stage, he is reciting selected prayers. Iti mate rupkalpitaha vitrishna bhagvati sattvata pungave vibhumni swasukham upagate kvavichit vihartum prakartim upeyushihi udbhavah prabhavah. So he is saying iti matir upkalpitaha vitrishna. Let me absorb all my consciousness into the Supreme Lord. Iti Matir. This whole my consciousness, my thinking, willing, feeling, let it all be invested into the Supreme Lord. Bhagavati Sattvatah Pungave Bhivumni. He is the, even though he is always self-satisfied, but being the leader of his devotees. Sattvatah Pungave. He enjoys his transcendental pleasure by descending in this material world. So even though Supreme Lord is completely independent, he is completely self-satisfied, but just to give pleasure to his devotees, he appeared among his devotees in this material world. Even though this material world is created by himself. So Bhishma Dev is trying to focus his complete attention on the Supreme Lord. His thinking, willing and feeling. As if Bhishma Dev is putting his intelligence, his mind in a plate and offering to the Supreme Lord. So he is telling his intelligence. First of all, he is telling the Supreme Lord, please accept my intelligence. And he is actually offering his intelligence, is referring to his intelligence as his daughter. That you please accept my daughter in the form of my intelligence. She has become completely purified by being absorbed in you. With Krishna. So his intelligence is two types. Sati and Asati. Sati means which has completely been purified and it has become eligible to be offered to the Lord. Asati is which intelligence is wandering here and there for the material objects. So because of complete absorption in the Supreme Lord, my intelligence is completely purified. It has become eligible to be accepted by you. So please accept my intelligence. And as if Bhishma is telling his intelligence, his mind, that look at Lord, how beautiful he is. I have found a suitable groom for you. So now you repose all your attraction in the Supreme Lord. Tumhare liye bahut sundar dulha dhunda hai. Look at him, how beautiful he is. So please completely absorb your attraction, your attention in him. And how is Krishna's beauty is explained here? Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavaranam ravikar gauravarambaram damane vapuralkala kulavritananam bhajam vijaya sakhe ratirstu meyavan anvadhaya tribhuvana kamanam. In all the three planetary system, in all the whole world, he is the most desirable object. Tribhuvana kamanam tamala varanam. And how is his complexion? His complexion is like the bluish tamala tree. As the tamala tree is bluish in complexion, so the Supreme Lord is bluish in complexion. Ravikar gora varambhar dhamane. And his dress is shining with the rays of the sun. It's looking like as a color of the sun rays. Vapur alkaha. His hairs, black color, curly hairs, they are waving in the air. Kulavratana nambaja, and they are covering the face of the Lord, which is decorated with the sandalwood pulp. Vijaya sakhe ratirstu me avan Anavadhaya. Let my attention constantly flow to the Supreme Lord, who is standing in front of me, the friend of Arjuna. Vijaya Sakhe. So Bhishma Dev is constantly looking at Krishna, glorifying the beauty of Krishna. And how is Krishna's decoration? What is making Krishna more attractive? Is Krishna's appearance at that time. Yudhi Turga Rajo Vidumraha Vishwakachalulita Shambharayaha Alankritasai Mama Nishita Shrair Vibhadmyamanaha Tvache Vilasat Kvache Astu Krishnatmaha Yudhi Turga Rajo Vidumraha. His hair is covered with the dust from the feet of the horses. Yudhi Turga Rajo. So his hair is covered up with the dust from the feet of the horses. Vishwakachalulita Shramavareha Alankritasai. Because of the hard work, his face has the drop of sweat, perspiration, which is making him look even more attractive, more beautiful. Mama Nishita Sharair Vividdhamana. Because of my sharp arrows, his body has been hurt at many places and is drenched with the blood. Tvachehi Vilasat Kavache, his kavacha, his armor has been destroyed and his body is drenched with blood. Astu Krishna Atma, may my mind be absorbed in Lord Krishna. So Bhishma is remembering the scene when Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. And because of his hard work, the perspiration drops are appearing on his face. His hair is covered up with the dust which is raising from the feet of the horses. So why Krishna is decorating himself from the dust of horses' feet? See, there are two decorations of Krishna. Bhagavan ka do tarah ka shingar bataya gaya hai. Ek Vrindavan ka shingar aur ek Yuddhasthal ka shingar. So Bhishma Dev is remembering the both decorations of Krishna, how Krishna used to decorate in Vrindavan and how he was decorated in the field of Kurukshetra. So in Vrindavan, Krishna is taking the cows for herding and he is walking behind the cows and his hair, his face, the whole body is covered up with the dust of the feet from cows. Goraj Shringar. So that is Krishna's Goraj Shringar. गाय के पैरों से जो धूल उड़ रही है उससे भगवान का श्रृंगार हुआ. So his hair is covered up with the dust. His whole face has become yellowish because of the yellow color dust. And that's why Krishna is also called Pandu Varna. When Krishna is herding the cows in Vrindavan, his whole face is covered up with the yellow dust of Vrindavan. He is known as Pandu Varna. Why Pandu? Pandu is like the yellow bear. The pile rang ka bear, paka hua bear hota hai. Us rang ka Bhagwan ka roop ho gaya hai. Jo mitti chipak chipak ke Bhagwan ke upar chipak rahi hai. Bhagwan ke pure roop ke upar, face ke upar. So he is looking like the yellowish color. The Pandu Varna. So that is Krishna's decoration in Vrindavan, Goraj Shringar. And that we can understand because Krishna is serving the cows in Vrindavan. He is walking behind the cows. When cows drink water in Yamuna or any pond, then Krishna drink water. When cows have heard, then Krishna will eat, sit down and eat. So he is practically serving, not just serving, worshipping the cows. But why Krishna is decorated with the dust from the hooves of the horses? Yudhituruk Rajo. Because Krishna says, my devotees are dear to me, I am ready to serve my devotees. But whoever are serving my devotees, they are also very dear to me. And I serve the servants of my devotees also. And these horses, even though they are animals, but they are serving my dear Pandavas. They are serving my devotees. They are carrying their weight. Throughout the day they are serving them. So these horses are also very dear to me. And Krishna practically served the horses in the war field. See, the warrior who is sitting on the chariot and fighting all day, at the evening when the war will stop, they will go to their camps and sleep, take rest. But the chariot driver, the sarathi, he have to take care of the horses also. He have to massage the horses, take care of the horses, put them to rest. Then he will go take rest. So when Arjuna has gone to his camp to take rest, Krishna will feed the horses, massage the horses, put the horses to rest, then he will go take rest. So he is serving the horses also. And he is decorated with the dust of the horses. And during war, one day, he told Arjuna, your horses have become very tired. And I don't think they can serve you anymore. They need the rest. So you arrange some stable for them. You arrange some drinking water for the horses, some green grass for the horses. So Arjuna, in the middle of the war, in Kurukshetra ground that time, with his arrows, he built a stable right there. So Arjuna ne apne vaahan chala ke wahan par ek parkhota tayar kiya. And in that, immediately there was some green grass also grew. And he built up some pond also there. So the horses ate some green grass, drank some water, and Krishna massaged the horses. And throughout that time, Arjuna was standing on ground and continuous fighting. And after the horses took some rest, they were ready to serve again. So Krishna is serving the servants of his devotees. So Bhishma Dev is remembering the pastimes of Krishna during the war and glorifying Krishna for his Bhakta Vatsala. His Krishna is known as Bhakta Vatsala. He is always serving his devotees. And Bhishma Dev is saying, I am remembering how before the war started, you took the chariot of Arjuna in the middle of two armies. You took the chariot in the middle of both armies on the order of Arjuna. And you are the Supreme Lord. Who can order you? But still, you are accepting the orders of your devotee. In the war field, Arjuna did not go to Krishna, paid obeisances, fell at his feet and tell, oh my dear Lord, please take my chariot in the middle of two armies. What did Arjuna say? Sanayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapyam me achyuta. Oh Achyuta, take my chariot and establish in the middle of two armies. So Arjuna is ordering Krishna and Krishna is following the order. And you are accepting the orders of your devotee. You are serving them. And as you brought the chariot in the middle of two armies, what did you do there? You are looking at both sides of the armies with your side glances. You looked at both sides of the armies and you stole the age of everybody. You are known as Makhan Chor. And what else Krishna is known as? Chit chor, cheer chor. आप माखन चोर हो, चीर चोर हो, चित चोर हो, पर आप एक चोर और भी हो, आप आयु चोर हो. आपने अपने साइड ग्लेंस से, अपनी तिरछी नजर से सबका आयु हर लिया. एंड इन दैट स्टेट ओनली एवरीबडी बिकेम लाइक अ स्टिल पिक्चर, चित्रवत. सो एवरीबडी बिकेम स्टिल लाइक अ समबडी हैज पेंटेड अ पिक्चर. एंड इन दैट स्टेट ओनली अर्जुना became an instrument and just killed everybody. Because everybody was so absorbed in looking at you, you stole everybody's heart and everybody's age. And Krishna is accepting the orders of his servant, and how in the war, how the Rathi will communicate with the Sarathi. In the war, there is so much of noise there, so much of the war cries and the noises of the elephants, the horses and everything. If two people are talking to each other, they will not be able to hear each other's voice also. So how the Rathi communicate with the Sarathi? So he is standing at the back and Sarathi is sitting in his seat in the front. So the Rathi will hit at the back of the Sarathi. If he want to go to the right side, he will tap his with his foot on the right shoulder. That will be the indication, take my chariot on the right side. If he tap with his feet on the left shoulder, it's an indication, take my chariot to the left side. And if he want to go to the straight, he will tap in the middle of the back with his feet. So that's how the Rathi will communicate with the Sarathi. So Arjuna is completely armored. From his head to toe, he is covered up with his armor. And he will communicate to Krishna by tapping on his back with his feet. He is tapping on Krishna's back, hitting with his feet to tell him where to go. And Krishna is taking the order like that, accepting the kicking of his devotee on his back.
But Prabhu, how could he do that after fully knowing that he is the Supreme,
seeing
the Vishwaroop, right?
But that is how he has to communicate. There is no other way to communicate. Nobody will be able to hear. Even though, let's say, Arjuna did not do that, but this is generally how the Rathi will communicate to the Sarathi. So Krishna is just accepting the orders, how to go here, go there, following the directions. And when Krishna brought the chariot in the middle of two armies, Bhishma is remembering that pastime that you gave this message of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. At that time only Arjuna was able to hear that message, and Arjuna only benefited from that message of Gita. And Bhishma is saying, now I am remembering that message of Gita. How Bhishma is remembering that message? Bhishma did not hear that message of Gita. But because of his complete surrender to Krishna, complete absorption in Krishna, everything is becoming manifested in Bhishma's heart. The whole message of Bhagavad Gita is also manifested in Bhishma's heart. So that's why a devotee, he may be completely illiterate, but once one is completely absorbed in chanting the holy name, completely absorbed in remembering Krishna, all the knowledge manifests in the heart. So Bhishma is saying Arjuna was reluctant to fight. And he was giving various reasons why I do not want to fight. Because of his attachment with the relative. And he was citing as if he is speaking dharma. He say, I don't want to fight in this war. And you derive away his illusion and you gave this message of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna at that time mentioned, Guru Nahatva hi Mahanubhavan Shreyo Bhoktum Bhaksham Apiha Loke Hatvartham Kamamstu Guru Niheva Bhunjiya bhogan rudhir pradigdhan. Better to kill all my relatives, my gurus and elderly people. Better I give up everything, go to the forest and live on begging. So Arjuna did not want to fight, wanted to give up everything. And he was thinking that I am a very scholarly person, I am speaking dharma. But you drove away all his illusion. Ashochyanan vashochastvam pragya vadamsta bhashase gatasun agatasumsta nanushochanti panditah. For a learned person, one should not be lamenting for the living or the dead. So one should not be lamenting. So you drove away his lamentation, his illusion, and gave this message of Gita, establishing him in the right understanding. Now I am remembering that whole message of Bhagavad Gita. May my mind be absorbed in you. And at that time, you were sitting on the seat of the Sarathi, holding on to the reins of the horses. So in one hand Krishna is holding the reins. Ek hath mein ghode ki lagam hai. Aur dusre hath mein ghode ko chalane ke liye chabuk hai. So in that state Krishna is riding the chariot. And his face is covered with the drops of perspiration. And whoever saw Krishna on the battlefield, they all got liberation. Because somebody sees Krishna in front of them at the time of their death, they become eligible to get liberation. And not only ordinary liberation, they get Sarupya Mukti. They get the same form as the four-handed Narayan form. That is Sarupya Mukti. So everybody got liberation seeing you on the battlefield. And Bhishma has a desire. Bhishma says, I am seeing you in the battlefield, holding the reins of the horses, driving the horses. But I don't want to see only that form. I want to see your form in the Veera Ras. Ek kshatriya ki tarah, apne haathon mein astra shastra pakde huye, haathon mein chakkar pakde huye. Ek veer yodha ki tarah mere upar आक्रमण करने के लिए दौड़ते हुए मैं आपका वो रूप देखना चाहता हूं. That is Bhishma's desire. And why Bhishma participated in this war? Bhishma could have said, actually, I don't want to fight. And nobody could have blamed Bhishma for not fighting. Bhishma could have said, I don't want to fight on the side of Pandava, or I don't want to fight on the side of Kauravas also. They are both equal to me. मैं तो दोनों का ही पितामह हूं. Both are equal, I don't want to fight. And nobody will blame Bhishma. And Bhishma could have actually chose to fight on the side of Pandava, still nobody will blame Bhishma. Bhishma could have said, Pandavas are 5, Kauravas are 100, Pandavas have spent 12 years in the forest, they don't have enough army. जो पांडवज हैं वो कौरवा के सामने निर्बल हैं, उनकी सैन्य शक्ति कौरवा से कम है. एंड भीष्मा में हैव चोज टू फाइट ऑन द साइड ऑफ पांडवा विद दैट लॉजिक एंड नोबडी कुड हैव ब्लेम भीष्मा स्टिल. बट भीष्मा फॉट ऑन द साइड ऑफ द कौरवज. एंड व्हाई भीष्मा चोज दैट? भीष्मा हैज दैट डीप रीजन इन हिज हार्ट. He is thinking, if I fight on the side of the Pandavas, I will be seeing Krishna's back. I will be on the back side of Krishna, not able to see Krishna face to face. But if I am on the side of the Kauravas, fighting on the side of the Kauravas, I will be able to see Krishna face to face all the time. Jo mere abhisht hai, jo mere वर्शिपेबल लॉर्ड है, मेरे पूज्य आराध्य हैं, मैं उनको सन्मुख देख सकता हूं. And that's why Bhishma is fighting on the side of the Kauravas. He wants to see Krishna fighting, raising the chakra, attacking on Bhishma to protect the Pandavas. And Bhishma took this vow that I will make Krishna lift up his weapon. Krishna had taken this vow that I will not lift the weapon in this war. And Bhishma took the vow that I will make Krishna lift up his weapon. That I will fight so ferociously that Krishna has to give up his vow and lift up weapon to protect the Pandavas. And actually Bhishma is fighting like that. Bhishma is thinking, Krishna is standing in front of me. Krishna is there on the chariot in front of me. Jab Bhagwan samne hai, toh log Bhagwan ko kya offer karte hain? Deep, dhoop, pushp. Aur main Bhagwan ko kya arpan kar raha hun? Main Bhagwan ko teer maar raha hun. Jor jor se, pura bal laga ke. अपने कमान को कानों तक खींच खींच के पूरा जोर लगा के भगवान के ऊपर तीरों से प्रहार कर रहा हूं. एंड कृष्णा इज एक्सेप्टिंग दैट ऑफरिंग ऑल्सो. बट आई डोंट वॉन्ट टू सी कृष्णा जस्ट होल्डिंग द रीन्स. आई वॉन्ट टू सी कृष्णा लिफ्टिंग अप हिज सुदर्शन चक्र एंड चार्जिंग ऑन मी. एंड भीष्मा फॉट सो फिरोशियसली. अर्जुन एक्चुअली बिकेम वेरी discouraged. And Krishna at that time jumped out of his chariot holding the chabuk, the hunter, in his hand, calling out to Bhishma, Thehar ja, abhi dekhta hun tujhe. But Arjuna jumped out of his chariot, hold on to Krishna's feet, please sit on your seat, I will fight more enthusiastically now, please do not give up your vow. At that time Krishna sat down and Bhishma took the vow. I am not satisfied just seeing you attacking me on me, charging on me with the chabuk in your hand. I want to see you charging me with your Sudarshana. So Bhishma is remembering all these various pastimes, remembering the beautiful form of Krishna decorated with the dust from the war field. Decorated with the perspiration, drops of perspiration. Decorated with the blood from the wounds by the arrows of Bhishma. And Bhishma is going to remember that particular pastime when Krishna finally gets down from the chariot, lifting up the wheel of the chariot, ready to attack Bhishma. So we'll hear these pastimes or these prayers of Bhishma in the next session. So Bhishma is constantly offering these prayers and again saying, may my mind be absorbed in the beautiful form of Krishna. May my mind be absorbed in Krishna. And that's what we can take as a lessons from Bhishma. Telling our mind, may my mind be completely absorbed in Krishna. May my intelligence, my thinking, willing and feeling be completely absorbed in Krishna. Grantraj Bhagavatam ki jai. Bhishma Dev ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai.
Sri Vindranath Prabhu ki jai.